You have tuned in to another episode of The Double Edge Factor. I am your host, Rob Manuel, and peace and blessings unto you. Before we get going, be sure to like, follow, and hit that subscribe button, because the more positive interactions you put out there, the more they push this podcast to people who've never heard it before, which, of course, will allow us to grow and have a greater impact on more people around the world. So, if you would do me that huge favor, I would certainly, certainly appreciate it. Today, I want to explore something that really doesn't get any attention. It's about two phrases we hear constantly, yet rarely pause to truly examine. Rest in peace and live in peace. You know, as a life coach, I spend my days helping people navigate the complexities of being alive, the struggles, the victories, the endless pursuit of meaning and fulfillment. But lately, I've been struck with struck by how much energy we put into planning for death, into hoping for peace after we're gone, while often neglecting the profound possibility of finding peace right here, right now, while we're still breathing. Let's start with rest in peace. Rest in peace, it's a universal sentiment. When someone passes away, whether we knew them well or not, we almost automatically say or think, rest in peace. We engrave it in tombstones. We whisper it at funerals. We type it in our social media comments. RIP has become one of the most recognized abbreviations in human language. But here's what fascinates me about this phrase. It reveals something profound about our collective understanding of life. When we say rest in peace, we're implying that the person's earthly existence was somehow lacking peace. When we say rest in peace, we're implying that the person's earthly existence was somehow lacking peace. We're suggesting that true rest, true tranquility, only comes after death. It's as if we collectively agreed that life is inherently restless, inherently troubled, and that peace is something we can only hope to achieve in whatever comes next. Now, I'm not here to debate beliefs about the afterlife. That's deeply personal territory that each of us must navigate on our own. But what I want to explore is the assumption embedded in the phrase. The assumption that peace is primarily a posthumous experience. Think about it. When did we decide that peace was something that had to be deferred? When did we accept the idea that human condition is fundamentally incompatible with deep, lasting tranquility? Because that's exactly what we're saying when we treat rest in peace as the ultimate blessing we can offer someone. Now, let's flip it around. What if, instead of focusing all of our peaceful wishes on the afterlife, we put that same energy into creating peace in our actual living, breathing existence? What if live in peace became as common as blessing as rest in peace? I know what some of y'all are thinking, but life is chaotic. Life is crazy. I mean, we got bills to deal with, relationships to navigate, health challenges, work stress, global crisis. How can we possibly live in peace with all of this going on? And you're absolutely right. If We define peace as the absence of challenges, the absence of conflict, and the absence of difficulty. But what if, and just what if, that's not what peace really is? As a life coach, I've worked with several people, and I've noticed something remarkable. The most peaceful people I know aren't the ones with the easiest lives. They're not the ones who somehow manage to avoid hardships or eliminate all sources of stress. No, see, the most peaceful people I know have learned something that our culture doesn't teach us. They've learned that peace is an internal state that can really exist with external chaos. So let's redefine peace together. Peace isn't the absence of storms. It's learning to dance in the rain. Peace isn't about having all the answers. It's about becoming comfortable with the questions. Peace isn't about avoiding conflict. It's about developing the wisdom to know which battles are worth fighting and to and just have the grace to release from the ones that are not. I remember working with a client, and we're just going to call him Jake. Jake had become completely lost. He was in his late 20s, kind of bouncing from job to job, trying to figure out his career path. And then he was also kind of struggling with today's dating scene. By external measure, his life looked unstable and chaotic. But over the course of the time that we worked together, something great happened. He didn't land his dream job or find his soulmate. Those things kind of took time, but he did change his relationships with all that uncertainty. So what he did was he learned to find moments of peace within his confusion. He discovered that peace could be found in those morning walks that he took before job interviews, kind of centering himself regardless of the outcome. He found it during those genuine connections that he made with his friends, or even remote romantic relationships that didn't even pan out. He found it in the satisfaction of learning a new skill at each temporary job that he had, even when they weren't a part of his perfect plan. See, Jake didn't need to die to rest in peace. He learned to live in peace right in the middle of his beautiful, uncertain 20s. This kind of connects me directly to something we know from decades of research on mindfulness and well-being. Peace isn't, it's not a destination. It's not a destination that we arrive at when all of our problems are solved. Peace is a way of being present with whatever is happening right now without constantly wishing it were different. I'm reminded of a famous quote, often attributed to various resources, of course, but it says, "Peace comes not from the absence of conflict, but from the ability to cope with it." And when you really internalize this truth, everything changes. We stop waiting for the perfect conditions to feel at peace. We stop postponing our tranquility until something, until like a future moment when everything lines up and it just aligns the way we think it should be. Instead, we begin to cultivate what I call portable peace. It's an inner stillness that we can access regardless of what's going on and what's happening around us. This isn't about becoming passive or indifferent to justice or suffering. It's about developing the emotional and spiritual resources to respond to life's challenges from a place of centered calm rather than reactive chaos. Here's what troubles me about cultural focus on resting in peace after death. It implies that we should accept restlessness and turmoil as the natural state of living. It's suggesting that we should just grit our teeth, endure the chaos, and hope for peace later. But what if there is no later? What if this life, this moment, this breath is all you have? Even if you believe firmly in the afterlife, surely we can agree that this life matters too. Surely the peace we can create and experience right now has some value. I think about all the people who spend their entire lives waiting for retirement to just relax, waiting for their kids to grow up so they can focus on themselves, waiting for the promotion to feel successful, or even waiting for the right relationship to feel complete. And yes, waiting until death to feel at peace. What if, though? What if we stop waiting? What if we decide that peace was our birthright? And as living beings, not just our hope as souls transitioning to whatever comes next. Today's show is brought to you by Polished Custom Builders, where they specialize in building your dream into a reality through custom home building, renovations, and interior design. Check them out at polishedcustombuilders.com, where the most beautiful house in the world is the one that you build yourself. So, how do we do it? How do we shift from this posthumous peace to creating living peace? Let me share some practical strategies that I've seen transform lives. First, and I say this all the time, start small. Peace isn't built in a day, and it doesn't require dramatic life changes. It just starts with moments of conscious breathing, moments of gratitude, moments of presence. When you're stuck in traffic, instead of being pissed off about the delay, can you find peace in that unexpected pause? When you're washing dishes, instead of rushing through the chore of doing them, can you find peace in that warm water and the simple repetitive motions that you're going through? Second, practice acceptance without resignation. There's a crucial difference between accepting what is and giving up on what could be. Living in peace means accepting the reality of this moment without necessarily accepting that things cannot change. You can be at peace with where you are while still working toward where you want to be. Third, cultivate inner boundaries. One of the biggest obstacles to living in peace is the way we absorb the chaos and negativity around us. Learning to maintain your inner calm while still caring about others is a skill that takes practice, but it is essential for sustainable peace. Fourth, embrace the both and the nature of existence. We've been conditioned to think in either terms of either or, right? Either we're successful or we're struggling. Either we're happy or we're sad. Either we're at peace or we're at turmoil. But life is very rarely It's rarely that binary. You can be grieving and grateful simultaneously. You can be challenged and at peace at the same time. Learning to hold multiple truths creates space for a more nuanced and sustainable form of peace. Here's something beautiful that happens when we choose to live in peace rather than just hope for it after death. Our peace, it becomes contagious. When we embody calm in the midst of chaos, we give others the permission to do the same. When we respond to conflict with centeredness instead of reactivity, we model a different way of being in this world. I've seen this ripple effect countless times. Think about the parent who learns to stay calm when their child is throwing a tantrum, often finds that the tantrum becomes shorter and shorter and less frequent. Or a coworker who remains peaceful during stressful deadlines often finds that the whole team's energy shifts. A friend who listens with peaceful presence often finds that the relationships are deepened and they start to flourish. Now, this isn't about toxic positivity or pretending everything is fine when it's not. It's about being calm. It's about being a calm center in a storm of stability that others can draw from. Now, I know what some of you are feeling kind of restless about this idea. Maybe you're thinking, but doesn't this make me selfish? Shouldn't I be more upset about injustice? Doesn't focusing on inner peace make me complicit in the systems that that harm others? And of course, these are valid concerns, and I want you to address them head on. Choosing to live in peace is not the same as choosing to live passively. In fact, I'd argue that the opposite is true. When you're constantly agitated, reactive, or internally chaotic, our ability to create positive change in this world is severely limited. We burn out, we make poor decisions, we say things that we regret, and we also act from our ego rather than our wisdom. But when we cultivate inner peace, we show up differently. We have some clarity about what really matters. We have more energy for sustained action. We're less likely to be driven by anger and more likely to be motivated by love. We become more effective advocates, better partners, wiser parents, and more impactful leaders. Think about the people who have created the most profound positive changes in the world. People like Martin Luther King, Gandhi, Mother Teresa. What they all shared was this ability to maintain inner peace, even while confronting tremendous external chaos and injustice. Their peace didn't make them passive. It just made them powerful. So as we begin to wrap up today's reflection, I want to leave you with this thought. Every moment you spend hoping for peace after death is a moment you could spend creating peace in life. Every rest in peace you offer someone who's passed could be accompanied by a commitment to live in peace while they're here, of course. This doesn't diminish the value or the beauty of hoping for eternal peace for our loved ones who have died, but it does invite us to claim our peace while we're still alive to be able to enjoy it. I sometimes think about my own mortality as a life coach, and I'm acutely aware of how precious and temporary our time is. And when I imagine my own death, I hope for peace in whatever comes next. But more than that, I hope that I will have lived in peace. I hope that I have modeled for my children, for my clients, and my community, that it is possible to find tranquility in the midst of turbulence, that it's possible to be calm without being indifferent, that it's possible to be at peace with what is, what it is and what it was, while still working for what it could be. So here's my invitation to you as we close. For the next week, just try this experiment. Every time you find yourself saying or thinking, "Rest in peace," about somebody that may have died, pause and ask yourself, "How can I live in peace right now?" Every time you catch yourself postponing your happiness or tranquility until some further conditions are met, gently redirect your attention to the peace that's available in that moment. Notice the resistance that comes up. Notice the voice that says peace is selfish, or it's impossible, or it's naive. Thank that voice. Thank it for trying to protect you, and then choose peace anyway. Not because life is always peaceful, but because you have the power. You have the power to be peaceful with whatever life brings. Remember, peace is not about the absence of storms. It's about learning to dance in the rain. Peace is not about having all the answers. It's about becoming comfortable with the questions. Peace is not about avoiding difficulty. It's meeting difficulty with an open heart and a steady mind. You don't have to wait until you're gone to rest in peace. You can choose to live in peace starting right now, starting with this very breath. And the world needs you at peace, and they need your peace. Your family needs your peace. And most of all, you deserve that peace, not just after you die, but while you're gloriously, messily, and beautifully alive. Until next time, remember that peace is not a destination. Peace is a journey. This is Rob Manuel with the Double Edge Factor. And if today's message resonated with you, I'd love to hear how you're choosing to live in peace. And if you found this episode, or even a few words value added, share this episode with just one person. The only way we grow this podcast is when you guys share it. The more you share, the greater impact that we can have on more listeners around the world. So hit that subscribe button to never miss another episode. Or you can find the Double Edge Factor on linktree.com, where you can join that free email list and have access to all of our social media outlets. And as I always say, be intentional with your words, be intentional with your thoughts, and be intentional with your actions. And always find a way to be a blessing to someone else today.